Football 52 is brought to you by Mark Larson, State Farm Insurance.
This is head coach of the Bears, Ed Lamb, and I want to tell you about my friend, Mark Larson, with State Farm Insurance. Mark grew up in Greeley and is always supporting the Bears and our wonderful community. When it comes to local, Mark gets it. A State Farm agent since 1982, Mark's passion is to help educate individuals about their insurance need and structuring a personal price plan on home and auto insurance. You want to work with the best? Then call Mark today at 356-8700 or visit his website, marklarsoninsurance.com.
Football 52, rise and shine on this fourth day of February. Or if you're listening to this in the evening, I guess, then good night. Ed, UNC head football coach, Ed Lamb. Coach, my friend, always good to catch up with you, man.
Likewise. Yep. Looking forward to this episode.
It's, I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to Coach Bruce Dick, who does coach speak, and he was like, man, I just remember listening to the first podcast you guys did. I don't even remember what that first podcast was like, Coach, to be honest, because when you get into this rhythm pretty much every single week, we've covered a lot of ground in the last, I don't know, have we done this for 2 years now? Are we over the two-year mark? Is that right?
I believe this is, we're starting our third year.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because it was after the first year where we sat down, had breakfast, and talked about what is your station, what are you trying to do, what is your business model, how does UNC fit in? It was just kind of a get-to-know-you. And you gave me a tour of the studio, and we walked by the podcast room, and you said, if you ever want to do a podcast.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That just, like, hit me real quick. I don't want to say I'm a writer. Like, I have not published anything of any significance outside the football world, right? But, like, I was an English major. I do enjoy writing, and I've always thought it would be cool to do a better job of documenting what I'm doing. And this has served that, and immediately I thought of that. So the direction that this podcast has kind of gone since the early days has been on my mind a lot, because initially it was like, okay, how do you turn a program, or how do I plan to turn this program? What are the things we're currently working on? And then now I feel like these last couple weeks – we've taken a new life. I mean, you and I just sat and kind of prepped for this one. I've got some notes in front of me.
It's like first time in a while.
Because a little more direction, and I can feel that. And the same is true in my everyday efforts at the office. Things are really starting to turn in a new direction with how our coaches are interacting with our players, how our coaches are interacting with each other, really the way I'm doing my job daily. And it has everything to do with kind of the look in our players' eyes, the confidence in the program, kind of where we're at right now mentally is a much different place.
Yeah, well, like even just through the podcast, it's really cool, because there was so much, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but you know, where we were at that point, talking about culture change, and then the next year it was just trying to kind of see that ball go through the hoop. You know, we try to get some positives. We've had some close games. We got that win. I remember that conversation. And then I think that was against Weber State at the time. You know that,
right.
That how emotional that victory was. And then last year, obviously, so many positives, so many emotions going into that. And then where we are at this season, it's really fun for me to see, like, as a sports radio guy, to see the growth of the program and to sit here and kind of loosely document that every single week. It's a treat for me. It's a high honor, and it's fun to see it.
I was watching our basketball team this last Saturday, and as you know, they've been on a downtrend after starting the season really hot, and there's still so much season left to go, and so much ability on that roster and coaching staff that, you know, they're going to get it going, and I think it's just a matter of how and when, and watching that play out. So in Saturday's game, tough game, back and forth game, close game, and you know, Zach Block was like all game hitting. He's seeing open looks and not quite falling, right? Some in and outs, some rattle outs and stuff like that. And we all know he could shoot, right? He's one of the best shooters in the Big Sky. Well, he banks one in toward the end of the game, like really to clinch it. And then Wisney with four straight free throws kind of puts it out of reach. And I just felt like, you know, those guys are smart basketball guys. They had to feel like, okay, we bank one in there. That wasn't on purpose. But like we also – it's time to get our due. Like we're working, we're grinding, we're playing our guts out here, and I couldn't help but put it in my own frame of reference of like that's kind of like where our football team has been at in the last few seasons. And like just continue to plug away, continue to go. You know, you got Wisney who's just trained and worked at that for a really long time, didn't even hit the rim on any of those free throws, right? And so the ability's there. The confidence is there. Just keep playing through it. And then there was kind of that celebration moment. And I couldn't help but put it in my own frame of reference. I think we're right there too.
That's a great connection because you know, like Zach Block, you know he's a great shooter.
That's
you
right.
You know he is. But man, he just keeps missing. It's frustrating. Oh, is he going to keep going? Is he going to
keep shooting?
And then he does keep shooting. Yep. And he finally gets that one, which was a very important three. That's a great connection to what we've seen with this Bears team. Just you keep fighting. Finally break through. And I think it's fair to say last year, I know those weren't the goals. You have big goals for this program, but last year did feel like this Bears team is breaking through.
Yeah, like, you know, the Weber win was kind of like banking in a three.
Yeah.
Like we got a bunch of turnovers. Our defense would say, hey, we took that ball away. And I agree, right? But also it's hard to count on takeaways and turnovers as part of your winning formula. Or being plus four or plus five on the day, which we were that day, I think. So that was the breakthrough win, and that added some confidence. And then you know, playing competitively in several games, and now getting some wins. Again, four wins on the year. It doesn't sound very amazing. It certainly didn't feel good as we were going through it. But to look back and say, okay, most wins around here in 9 years. Okay, there's a little something going. Can we just keep shooting? And that look in the players and the coaches' eyes right now, we've got the lowest number of guys in the portal outgoing. We have none of our coaches to this point. We haven't lost a single coach this year. And everybody has options and opportunities. It's not about that. Guys can leave if they want to. There's all kinds of movement every year in college football. And then, you know, in terms of like our direction, I'm doubling down on that high school. We're triple or quadrupling down now, you know, with this recruiting class. We're only taking five portal guys this year, five guys out of the portal, and four of them are from Colorado. And the fifth one is a guy that one of our coaches, Mike Rigel, our receiver coach, knew him from his home area in Washington. And so the kid reached out to us.
Wow.
So while everybody is like completely trying to build their programs around the portal, we're the antithesis right now. We're building it with high school kids. We continue to do that. And we don't have a lot of guys going in the portal, which I think is a great sign. And we don't have a lot of guys coming out of the portal to us.
And the guys that did enter that portal, for the most part, these players we've talked so much about on this podcast, these are big-time players. And, you know, could have stayed at UNC and really, you know, etched their name in some UNC history and completed that turnaround. But we kind of know that this day and age of college football, that's what it is. You get yours in that one season or two, and then you look at different opportunities. And you've talked about that, where, hey, if you really are that good and you can, great. Maybe you're close and you should stay another year. But the ones that are leaving, those are big-time names. And that, to me, probably helps with some of these new guys coming in. We're in the second signing period, where they look at those guys and say, I could go to UNC and be successful years one through four or whatever, or I could, you know, I could go crazy for the first couple of years, and then I have other opportunities down the road too. And you're not shy to talk about kind of both of those benefits of playing for the Bears. You could be great here. You could also be so great that maybe you have other options too.
My goal for each of our players with regard to the portal would be that they enter in deliberately and intelligently and get the right thing. And that philosophy, that ideal is going to lead to a low number of guys in the portal, right? Because you're not going to have, you know, if you study the numbers on the portal, I think there's like 2,000 kids right now, Division I kids who entered the portal looking for an opportunity, and they're stuck there right now. They're nowhere and have no opportunity. So it really can be a dangerous thing. But if guys can successfully enter the portal and get a fresh opportunity somewhere else because they're down on the depth chart here at UNC, or they can enter the portal and move up a level, maybe get some cash in their pocket that they wouldn't have been able to get here at UNC, okay, that's a win. And I think that if guys can be that picky, and for the most part, our players are enjoying their experience here at UNC and feel like they have some development and life experiences in front of them that they want to adhere to at UNC, okay, they're going to stay. And I absolutely, in our recruiting process, I absolutely acknowledge the portal and the fact that you could potentially come here and if you achieve your fullest potential and still have years of eligibility remaining, there could be a life-changing opportunity to enter the portal and move up a level. I think players all over the country are also starting to realize that, look, the second or third receiver or any position player at a Power 4 team or a Group of 5 team is not going to go to the NFL their senior year.
Yeah.
But the first or second or third receiver in the Big Sky, including UNC's number one guy, you can get drafted or get to a camp, right? And that's any position. I'm not just talking about receivers. And so I think as long as that's all being understood, it's my job to teach it, preach it, give them the data. And then if we can continue to be a team who's at the low end of our conference with guys exiting the team and going into the portal, I think that's a great sign for UNC.
What is it about this program right now? You talk about the low amount of guys entering the portal. Is it the recent success? Is it the coaching staff? You talk about how you've got – your coaches are all pretty much the same guys. Is it the philosophy? Is it the future? You know, is it pinpointing certain players that came over here and rocked it, like Carver Cheeks and Cam Chapa? Is it kind of a mixture of all those things, why guys are sticking around?
I'll say it this way. It is definitely a mixture of those things, but I'll also say this. If there's one thing I work with my coaches on the hardest, it's how we interact with our players. I spend a lot of time doing that, our kind of rules of engagement. And while we could face some bad fortune here, you know, injuries, brutal schedules, just not being able to accomplish what we want to accomplish, I could get fired from here someday. You know, our program could fall down and just not achieve the type of year-over-year success that we've kind of patterned this thing and hope for and are working toward. But I can promise you this. There will not be a time here where there's a revolt and players are going on social media talking about how we don't treat them with respect. We don't communicate with them. We, we're about ourselves or something like that. Like, that's one thing I can promise to parents, recruits, current players. We're going to treat them right. We're going to push them hard, but we know how to artfully make sure that we push them hard and hold them accountable, but also treat them with respect at the same time. And that's not easy to do.
No. And it just seems like this, and I've been around a while, that just there's no drama really around right. Your program. Now in this day and age, and we experienced that a little bit with the last regime, where players kind of go rogue and they start reaching out. Not to say we're the end-all be-all, but we did have players reaching out, putting a message in our inbox of like, hey, I want to come on and air out some stuff. I'll tell you, full disclosure, I've had players reach out to me from your program. These are guys that are basically like, hey, I wanted to thank you for your coverage. Yeah. I wanted to thank you for continuing. And I know elephant in the room, we've even had players say, why isn't KFKA broadcasting games anymore? But that kind of stuff to me is like, these are heady kids. These are guys that are not only paying attention to the program, they're paying attention to how to grow the program for years to come. And I'll tell you, Coach, in all my years of doing this, I've never had guys reach out in that way. Not in a negative, dramatic way, but more in a, hey, we just really appreciate the coverage. Kids' parents are reaching out to us here at the station saying the same thing. So that's – you're seeing more and more of that. I mean, you know, tons of guys, great guys. Even guys that are no longer with the team come out, thank you for your coverage, really appreciate it. Never once a fadeaway jump shot, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, Ed doesn't know what he's doing. You don't right. get any of that stuff.
Yeah, and I think – you know, there could always be somebody who's got a grievance, but it would just be so rare. It'll happen at some point. Right?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of dudes.
And maybe with multiple guys. Yeah, there's 120 guys on a football team. But the biggest – like I get a lot of transfer players that come in here and they're nervous to come see me or they're reaching out by phone trying to set up an appointment. And I'm always – it's always the same answer. Like no appointment needed to come see me at any time for any reason. Walk in the door. If my door is closed, it's because someone else is in there. I'm not a door closed guy. Just come to my house. Y'all know where I live. The first thing we do when players show up on campus is have a barbecue at my house, right? Mm-hmm. They all know where I live. Stop by any time. And so every player on our roster knows if they have a grievance, just come see me. Like that, yeah. That's the first thing you can do is air it out, and it doesn't take very many of those before the word spreads around. Like I will listen. I'm willing to say, oh, okay, wait, our coach maybe was wrong. I was wrong in that situation. Okay, let's figure out how to work together here as peers. Like my job is to coach you and correct you, but it doesn't mean that we're not peers driving towards the same end goal, right? To maximize both of our times here. So I think the chances of anyone of any significant number of players kind of griping about that. And then I'll say this, the biggest credit, because I don't want to like make it sound like it's me and my coaches who are all these players are super happy. The biggest credit is really we've self-imposed our own grade point average requirement for recruiting. We could get in a minimum qualifier to UNC, right? That wouldn't be a problem. Nobody would stand in our way. But we've taken the team GPA, our players have taken the team GPA from 2.4 to 3.4. That's like unheard of where we're at right now academically. And it's a testament to what type of players we have. If you're a good student, you respond to authority.
Yeah.
And you don't fight authority. You're willing to sacrifice a little bit of fun so that you can achieve your goals. And so that's what kind of guys we have in the program right now. And I think that leads to a more deliberate group of kids making a deliberate decision with things like the portal or getting on social media to air grievances.
And I think the grade point average is a good one too. That doesn't necessarily mean you got a bunch of Einsteins on the field. It means right. You have a bunch of guys. I mean, I graduated, coach. That's just by showing up. Yeah. You know, I am not a mathematician or scientist or anything. You just show up and you do the work. So when I hear that grade point average, that's the first thing I think of. Guys are caring about what they're doing. They're taking it seriously. And they're all working together to raise that grade. And that's who you're looking for. Those guys that, yeah, you don't have to come in here and be able to solve, a Rubik's Cube, right in a meeting with you. I've never done one of those, by the way. I never solved it. But they're coming in and they're dedicated to what they're doing on and off the field.
Yeah. Huge difference between intelligence and grade point average, right? And so that's what we're talking about here is anyone that can work hard, tap into their resources, stay at it. They can do well with grade point average. Test scores and intelligence is a different thing. Not that those don't have value in our program, but it's not the number one criteria we're looking for.
Coach, we're in this secondary signing period or whatever. And I asked you off the air. I said, hey, do you find this beneficial, the second portion of this? Because as a fan, it's always been confusing to me. Even a guy that covers sports, it's like, okay, we got the early signing day and then we have this day. And we talked a little bit about that, how it just kind of depends on the program. The second portion of this can be very beneficial depending on who you are.
Well, we're unique, unusual if not unique in some of our approaches because we have to be. And I've worked at other places where we can do it differently. And if UNC changed in some significant ways, maybe we could do it differently. But the early signing date doesn't hold a lot of value for us because just looking at things realistically, we are not a destination school for freshmen and sophomores and juniors in high school. They're not, for the most part, painting with a broad brush here, they're not, zeroing in on UNC at some young age, like, I want to be a UNC football player. And because we require, as part of the recruiting process, some feedback. We want guys to step toward us in the recruiting process. We want to know that we're wanted as mm-hmm. well. And so we're looking for signs in our conversations and in the players' social media or however they communicate that they're going to have gratitude when they come here, that they're excited about the UNC opportunity. So we are a pretty low-pressure recruiting outfit here because of that. So we can't have it both ways. We can't say, hey, we're looking for the players to recruit us a little bit too, but we're also going to go high pressure. It doesn't work that way, right? Like we have to have some give and take. We have to give these players time. If you travel up and down this state in Colorado, you will not find any high school coach who tells you that we have put out an offer that's not committable. Hmm. By the time we put out an offer, it's pretty late. We've done all of our research. We've created the relationship. And by the time we put out that offer, it is completely a committable offer. There are schools in our conference that are putting out 200, 400, 600 offers over the course of a year. We put out less than 50 offers every year.
Wow.
And we get a significant, you know, we get 30 guys. So we have a super high hit ratio. This is a long-term process with us. We are looking to kind of pair off the way you would pair off in a relationship with two people that are both feet in all the way. And I think that's the only way to build the program here.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. We talked a little – obviously, we can't get into names yet. Maybe something for next week we can look at this. But I thought it would be kind of interesting to look at it and say, just give me like a – if you can give me like a number of guys that that you know are committing or that will commit or will sign. And then also maybe like a position that stands out. Like, was there a certain position that you've really been putting the focus on in this period?
So here's some unusual, other unusual numbers to answer your question. The number of high school kids we signed. So just high school versus junior college versus portal. This is going to be completely flipped from almost every FCS school out there, and certainly those in our league. We will by the end of today, we will have signed 24 high school, you know, barring any surprises, which I don't expect any, but I can't until we actually get, just for the listeners, because it's Wednesday morning of the signing day here at 7 a.m., some of the paperwork hasn't come back yet. I'm legally, I can't speak about names yet that haven't actually returned their contract.
If I had a list, I could say, hey, this guy, and you could just basically say, we've made an offer.
I can confirm the recruitment.
Yes, but I
can't tell you whether they've signed or anything like that. Well, I could if they had signed. So we don't want to really get into that because at best right now, sitting here at 7:30-ish, maybe half of our class has actually returned their contract signed at this point. And it's like changing by the minute. So just talking some general numbers, 24 high school signees, 8 junior college signees, and only 5 from the portal.
I mean, this all checks out to what you've been talking about.
The
numbers,
right? We're doubling down, right? Like as atrocious as my head coaching record is here, like from day one, we've said we're going to do it with high school kids. We're going to take the time to develop them, and we believe in that process. So we haven't flinched. Our administration hasn't flinched. They know exactly what we're doing. Also, out of those 24 high school kids, 19 from Colorado. You know that I don't think in the last 10 years combined, CSU and Colorado have signed 19 Colorado kids.
I would imagine
10 years
right.
combined yeah. for each of them, right? Yeah. I mean, we are definitely the right now, you're starting to hear the high school coaches say it. Dave Logan said it the other day. UNC, we offered one of his players. UNC is one of the few big time schools that actually recruits Colorado high school kids.
And actually, recruits.
To hear that come back.
That's amazing.
You know, third hand through one of our recruits' dads say that, a very successful high school coach like that, to actually be recognizing what we're doing. I mean, that was kind of a huge moment for me because I'm sure it's being said out there a lot. Like, right, we know what we're doing, but to actually have it get back to me that it's being recognized like that.
Because
the feedback from Coach Logan was, that's the place to go. If you have these goals that you've said you've had, stop messing around. Make your commitment. Mm-hmm. Sign the paper.
Wow. And we're talking one of the GOATs when we talk high school football coaches. Obviously, he's a radio guy. He's the voice of the Broncos. Having that guy say those types of things, and we're seeing other coaches say they're going to schools and all that, but you got Mr. Logan flat out saying, this school, they're doing it the right way. Don't mess around. If you're interested, you gotta go to UNC.
Yeah, we don't publicize that we're traveling to high schools because it's not a marketing tool for us. We're not marketing the effort. The test for us is whether you sign those kids because that shows that you believe in their development potential, right? And I'm not saying that that's the right thing for CSU or Colorado or anyone to do. That's their business. That's their thing. What I'm saying is this momentum. This flywheel is speeding up and spinning faster and faster and faster, and these players are recruiting themselves. You would be shocked to get an inside look at how many players now, by the time we get them on their official visit, they've already made their decision and they've already talked with so many of our players because they're their former high school teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And we're recruiting a high school senior who, when he was a sophomore or junior, some of the best players on his team went to UNC. That reality now is starting to happen. Every year in the recruiting class, many of these 19 high school Colorado kids that signed, they made their decision long before we were even aware of it because they have been in contact with our current players.
I love that. And that's one of the big things when you first got the job. It was like, man, us here, you know, we love talking high school football. We carry high school football games. Seeing a lot of these stud players, these fun players, great guys, whether they leave and then come back or whether they just go to UNC, it is so cool because not only are you getting, you know, a following within the state, but people that followed those dudes through their careers in high school are now paying attention to what they're doing. This goes for people that cover CSU, people that cover CU. They still dabble in the high school world, and then when they see these dudes go, wait, that guy's going to UNC, I'm going to be kind of paying attention to what's happening over there.
Right.
And that happens with multiple guys. Where does this 19 Colorado kids this year on the high school side of it, where does that stack up in the last three recruiting cycles for you? Is it high or is it about right? I mean, are you averaging about?
That's about where we've been every year.
Yeah, it seems right
around,
like it, right?
Right around 20, just over 20, just under 20. Very few out-of-state kids. We got five coming from California. That's a place that we're familiar with. We think it's a pretty good fit for us. It's interesting now with the portal dynamic. You know, you don't want to go too far away. If we're recruiting a bunch of Texas and Florida kids, the second that they achieve something on our field, we have a high tendency to lose those guys back to even just lateral moves to the Abilene Christians, the Florida A&Ms, right? Like it's not sustainable anymore for a school like us to be recruiting guys from all over the South or the East Coast or something like that. We could get them here. We could sign guys. Like I could say right now, hey, we're going to build a whole recruiting class of Connecticut kids. Like we could do that. It's just not – it's not sustainable and we're probably not be a very good football team. But California is, you know, because those kids have had so many schools come through their school, so many colleges come and take a look at them, I think there's an awareness in California that you know, recruiting is not – it's not what it's cracked up to be. It's not what you see on social media. And so some of those California kids, they really do have the gratitude to say, yeah, UNC, they're the ones that came out here and found me, and I will try to maximize my potential at UNC before – I either graduate, leave, get drafted, whatever else we can set their goal to do from here.
Yeah, and I think I think you're starting to see that maybe more too, where you have more kids and their parents that are aware of how nasty it can be nationally through the recruiting side. So maybe they're not just jumping, they're not just going all over to the first shiny object that hits their mailbox. They're really considering what my future looks like.
Nothing better could have happened for UNC football than Indiana winning the national title and the way that they did it, because it's been so publicized because it's such a great story that now, you know, coaching is a copycat business. And so what I'm seeing is now more than ever, and it was like this, it was already trending this way. Everybody's trying to build their rosters through the portal.
Yeah.
And they're trying to do it with the 1 year guys. Well, here's the deal. Like you want to try to do it like Kurt Cignetti? Great. Go for it. You better have Kirk Cignetti's money.
Yeah,
you better have Mark
find
Cuban's
that Mark
money.
Cuban here, right? in Greeley or something.
Exactly,
it's tough to do.
Yeah, and the university president. I don't know if you saw that, but the university president spoke at Indiana a few years ago. She started talking about how this whole thing was put in motion in 2021.
Yeah, it was
right.
It was an interesting, because it was like hey, we really love what Cignetti's done, but
however,
it's not just him with the looks and all the play. I know there's
That's
a lot
right.
more to it than that, but we've been investing slowly but surely, and it's not just the coach.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought that was interesting.
And Mark Cuban made the commitment to the athletic director and president before they hired Kirk Cignetti,
sure.
Right? So there's a lot going on there. And again, not to take anything away from any of their players, the way they're doing, it's just not UNC's reality, right? And I'm not really seeking that reality either. Like I'm not putting out a pitch here for Mark Cuban or our local version of Mark Cuban to come and save us.
But it would be nice if they're out there and they're listening to the podcast. It'd be cool.
It would be. We are a long way into this high school development. And the cool thing is there are just better and better and better high school football players available to us because people are ignoring them. Everybody's just completely hung up on doing this the portal way. And here we are again, doubling down, tripling down, quadrupling down, whatever you want to call it. We only got five kids coming out of the portal. Now, when all this comes out this afternoon, all the teams in our league, you want a fun exercise? Look at who they're signing and how many portal kids each of these schools are signing. Many of them are going to be in the teens and 20s, and we got five. And, oh, yeah, all five of them came to us through the portal. We did not seek the portal. In fact, I gave my coaches this is going to be. So this will be legendary. If I get fired someday because we suck, this will be a legendary story. And if we win a championship, same thing. It'll be a legendary story. Otherwise, it'll just get lost. But the first week of January is a week off for our players. They're not even in school, right? School hasn't started. That's also when the portal opens up. Well, for a long time, I've said, if our players are on campus, we're on campus. I don't care what the recruiting calendar says or anything like that. We are here for our players. And so I gave our coaches the first week in January as, you know, the remote work is a better way to say it. We're 24/7, yeah. 365, right? But we did not have staff meetings. We were not on campus the first week in January. Everyone else in the country was spinning their wheels because the portal opened the first week in January. But I had said, look, we're not looking for kids in the portal. So all four of the kids that came through the portal, even the fifth one from Washington, they all got in the portal, contacted us and said, hey, I want to come back home to Colorado, or I want to go, you know, I want to go coach, I want to be with Coach Riggle. I knew, known him. My people have known him since I was young. Those are the only kids we got out of the portal.
Wow. The connections part of that too. I mean, you get guys that you're there. Maybe the Washington guy is not a Colorado dude, but he has a great connection, which would probably be seamless as far as his transition here to UNC.
Exactly. Yeah, they had predetermined to go into the portal to come to UNC because of the players that we've recruited that are their former teammates. So we got a player from San Diego State. We got a player from Kansas State. We got a player from South Dakota State. South Dakota State. We got a player from Indiana State. All these guys coming back to Colorado seeking us out in the portal. I'm not bragging. It's nothing to brag about. It's not impressive. It's just it's an indication that all the things that I've been saying, we're not flinching.
Yeah. Well, what I like about it, and it's not bragging, but it's you said this on day one, that this was going to be your philosophy and how you were going to go about doing it. And it's cool to just see these, you know, to see these numbers kind of connect back to what you said day one.
Yeah. And here's the part of the story that'll become infamous or famous or whatever. I was on the beach in Mexico the first week in January. I was not stressing about the portal. And not only that, I think if we were a school that could get players that could, you know, like if we had a late semester block start or something like that, maybe we would like consider the portal a little bit more. But the idea that somebody would jump into the portal on January 2nd, that we would then scour the thousands of names in the portals, find the guys that are right for us, bring them in on a visit, get them accepted to school, and do all the homework and diligent research that we like to do, comparisons, and get that done in a week and get them to move to Greeley and start our player training on time. I was just like, no way. That's not us. That's not going to be us. So I encourage all you guys – I'm talking to my staff here. I encourage all you guys to go on vacation or stay home during that first week in January, and most of them did, but we several of them just still came in and worked because they couldn't get their mind around not working because everybody else in the country was like they were working their tail off that week. And there'll be some weeks where we like July when the rest of the country takes their football coaches are all over the place taking vacations. Our players are training, and we're here training with them.
Yeah, I love
it. It's a trade off,
coach. And speaking of those coaches, one of those guys that we've had in here, Aaron Fernandez. Having him in the podcast studio, seeing how he is at practice and seeing, you know, how he is come game day. It's just one of many of your great coaches that the dudes just love. They just seem to really love. And, you know, while we have some time here, I wanted to spend some time on the defensive line, on, you know, what you're looking, obviously how much of the guys in this signing period did you look at the D-line? You talked about this last week because we spent time talking about the O-line. This is another one of those strengths of this team is it really starts in the trenches for you guys. And we were going to go, you know, I suggested, hey, let's just spend time on the offense. And you said, no, I kind of want to go from where we're building this thing out. You know, it's offensive line
of scrimmage.
And now we're going defensive line. So let's talk about that, coach, as far as returners, guys you expect to take that step and make a big impact next year.
Yeah, very few D-line. Well, I should just say most of our recruiting has been done kind of like just commensurate to the position. So, for example, if you sign 30 guys, it's roughly one for every guy on the field. So you got five offensive linemen on a field. An average recruiting class would be five offensive linemen, right?
Two corners,
a quarterback, a running back or two, a tight end or two. Like that's kind of how you generally put together a recruiting class. And for the first year that I've been here, we haven't had to overemphasize defensive line numbers because our young guys are starting to develop. So I'm excited to talk about some of those
guys.
Yeah,
me too.
I mean, we'll start just kind of I'm going by their jersey number here because I'm looking at the roster of our defensive linemen. So jersey number three, we'll start with Ezra Ekubon. He's the lowest numbered defensive lineman. But, I mean, that's a name, a guy that's been around, battled through a couple of injuries, I think, that have kept his overall numbers down from being maybe like a first-team all-conference candidate to this point. But he's got all the tools to be a dominant player in the Big Sky. He's really coming into his own as both a leader and an on-field presence.
Well, and for me, like, this is a personal one because dad, Ebenezer Ekubon, played for the Broncos. And
right.
When I had Ezra in studio, I'm like, dude, I used to play Madden, and I would be your dad.
Right.
So that we had a good laugh at that part. But he's one of those guys that if you're a Broncos fan, you know that name.
Yep. There are a lot of athleticism there. Great genetics, and not to take anything away from how hard Ezra works because he's really worked to build up his body. Impressive looking. Makura Brahm was a gray shirt or delayed enrollment guy for us, and now he's going to be going into his junior year. And, you know, a guy that originally signed with us at 6'5" and 195 pounds is now up to 253 pounds. And these are the type of guys that we build a program with in our philosophy, this delayed enrollment, gray shirt, high school emphasis, guys that are developing themselves into something that, you know, 3 years from the time they sign him, the rest of the league is going, where'd you find that guy? Yeah, he was right here in Colorado, unrecruited, no other offers. And we didn't – and with these guys, just because they don't have any other offers, we're not asking them to walk on. Like, we're literally putting our money where our mouth is in terms of seeing their development potential. Blake Westland, another one, starting to really – he came on last year, started to really get some numbers, had a monster final game against Portland State. High school quarterback, one of the best high school quarterbacks or most productive in the state his senior year. Again, 6'4", you know, 205 pound guy, now up to 255. These guys are, you know, they're starting to really show up. Dane Gray was one we signed last year and kind of, you know, just kind of paid his dues last year, has been working really hard, put on 20 or 30 pounds, another local guy.
Really local guy there, Thompson Valley?
Mm-hmm, exactly, yep. Andres Rodriguez was a guy we got, a JC guy last year to help shore us up. We're not really doing that anymore because we've got these young guys that are coming along. But Andres was a solid player for us last year. We're expecting him to come back and do big things. Another super local guy, Johnstown, Dom Butts, right? Dom's been a true leader for us, like steps into that role, doesn't hesitate for a moment. Was productive last year and now I think is going to be in that kind of honors candidate type of role. Brooks Mila was a guy we brought with us from a defensive tackle from BYU. And when we got the job here, Preston Hadley and I reached out to Brooks. He was coming back off of a mission, and he's been doing really well for us. Came off a knee injury last year and played kind of halftime. This year, we're looking to have a big year out of him. Zymian Salvao from Pueblo Central signed him last year, and he just kind of put in his freshman year this last year, didn't appear in any games of any significance, but one of the most promising players on this roster. In my mind right now, just with where he's at as a freshman or going into his redshirt freshman year, an NFL prospect someday because of the height, weight, and speed. Nolan Gibbs, this one is going to come kind of out of nowhere. A guy, you know, we signed, he went on a mission, originally from Atlanta, Georgia, but I played with his dad, so there's a connection there. And he's a 6'5 guy, maybe 6'6, that we thought, okay, this guy is probably an offensive lineman. He's been pretty adamant about getting a full shot on the D-line, but, you know, signed with us at 220 pounds, and now he's up to 295. So to be 6'5 and 295, maybe he's even 6'6 and 295 – if you can get that kind of D tackle, it is a game changer. And so far, he's this early in the winter conditioning here, he's kind of flashing in a way that's got us excited. Like, yeah, I mean, he might have that O-line looking body, but he's athletic enough to get this done at D-line. So we're going to support him in his goals.
I love it. Big, big boy right there.
Yeah. Brennan Acosta was kind of like Andres, a JC guy that we took last year to kind of shore us up. Brennan's come a long way. He was a 220-pound D end, and now he's up to 250. And played a lot last year, made some plays. He was kind of in the rotation, and so an older, better guy at that position. We're hoping Aiden Merrihue, he was a starting D tackle for us last year. We're hoping he gets another year of eligibility. He's working at it. George Patterson, another one of these young guys that's developed. He can play all four spots across the line. That's kind of an unusual ability.
Yeah,
6'5", 260. If he fits at the end, he fits at the D tackle. He's tough. He's strong. He's one of the biggest bench pressers on our team, which is just really an indication of that you work hard at something football related. Levi Little played. It was a starting D tackle for us last year. He's back. So again, just kind of talking about the depth at that position and the readiness to really lead the way. I just mentioned 12, 13 guys that are like have been key contributors already, and they're a year stronger, or they're guys that have kind of like they're just starting to show that big promise, and I think they can be all conference type guys during their career. So really excited about that O-line, D-line leading the way for us.
Who kind of stands out? You know, I mean, to put a couple of these guys on the spot, when you look at this and say, these are dudes we think are going to really take a big, big step next year.
Gosh, that's such a difficult question. I'm going to say right now, in terms of like the progression year over year, because I mean, if you look at guys like Ezra and Dom and you know, Aiden, there's guys that are just already doing it, right? And Blake Westland, I think, just took a major leap forward this past year, where it was like going into the season, we maybe weren't expecting much. By the end of the season, he was our most productive DN in the last game and a half, two games. But I think just in terms of like the year-over-year progression, you got to look at one of these two young guys, Nolan Gibbs or Zymian Salvao. Like one of those guys or both of them is going to shock the league this year, in my opinion. Like they're just so big and physical. You got Zymian 6'3", 310, 320. Nolan's, like I said, 6'5", 295. I mean, that just – you don't see that in the Big Sky very often. And they're both still young, and they've got a lot of competition in front of them. I'm not giving them anything, but when you say kind of the surprise, yeah. I'm thinking of a guy who kind of who was that? Where was he last year? That kind of thing. And so, well, they were just, you know, whatever, 30 pounds lighter, or still true freshmen trying to figure out where to line up. They're kind of coming into their own here early in this offseason.
Well, we know with this program, it's a lot about, you know, building your body up, you know, getting in that weight room, and to see some of these numbers go from where they were last year, 20 pounds lighter, 30 pounds lighter, to now. Yeah, that's always a good sign, Coach.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Coach, it's 8 o'clock here. I got to let you go because you got to jump in with the Good Morning NOCO fellas, man.
That flew by.
That did fly by. These things just go faster every single time. Appreciate you going into that, because this is more self-serving for me, just going through the positions here.
The old depth chart. You're always trying to get us to the old depth chart.
I'm going to start building my own depth chart based on the stars I put next to their names, and then I'll send it over to you. That's what I need in here, no question. Coach, always appreciate it, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thanks, Brady.
Football 52 is brought to you by Mark Larson, State Farm Insurance.
This is head coach of the Bears, Ed Lamb, and I want to tell you about my friend, Mark Larson, with State Farm Insurance. Mark grew up in Greeley and is always supporting the Bears and our wonderful community. When it comes to local, Mark gets it. A State Farm agent since 1982, Mark's passion is to help educate individuals about their insurance need and structuring a personal price plan on home and auto insurance. You want to work with the best? Then call Mark today at 356-8700 or visit his website, marklarsoninsurance.com.